Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and speak deep into our hearts and minds. As we continue the study of this book, may we be open to your prompting, may we be aware of your presence, and may we hear the voice of God clearly in our hearts, souls, and minds. For we pray it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we are continuing our study of the book of 1 Peter that we started last week. Last week we did a quick overview of the first 13 verses, or first 12 verses. And this morning we're picking up in chapter 1 and verse 13. If you have a Bible near you and you want to follow it, or you have one on your phone, then please feel free to do so. 1 Peter is a wonderful little book in the New Testament. You could read it probably in one sitting and one go. It's full of little gems and little nuggets of how that we should be living our lives and the call of God upon us. Last week we thought of what it meant to have a call to be in living hope. And this week we're thinking of the theme of what it means to be called to be holy. What does it mean to be a holy people, to be a holy church, to be a holy nation before God? I would ideally love to take every individual verse of this and to unpack it, but time doesn't allow me to do so. But please read it at home. It really is one of those wonderful little books in the New Testament. And so we're going to take a few of the verses and look at them this morning and do a quick overview of what it means to be holy before God. In verse 13, of which Alex read for us, we read these words: "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus," or when Jesus is revealed. Being sober-minded. Set your minds for action. What does Peter actually mean to us in this? Prepare your minds for action. One of the things that I loved when I was at school, particularly primary school more than secondary school, because at secondary school it was a bit nerdy to be involved in it, but was the game of chess. We had a chess club at primary school, of which I was in, P5, 6 and 7. Then when you went to high school, well, you just didn't go there. It wasn't cool. But for anybody who plays chess, you'll know that it's a bit of a strategic game. Because you have to not only know your own mind and figure out which moves you're going to make next, you also need to try and get into the mind of the person that you're playing. You have to try and predict how your move could make them move. Do you understand what I mean? A lot of games are like that. Well, Peter, I think, is saying that to us today. He says we need to prepare our lives as if we're playing chess. All right? But we're playing it not with God, because God is on our side. But we're playing it against the world. And we need to prepare our minds for action. We need to always be ready to make the move. Be ready to stand up for the Lord. Be ready to hold firm to our faith. Be ready to stand on righteousness and righteousness alone. I love that hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." That's what we have to be ready for. And as we go through this, we see exactly how we come to be ready. Peter says we need to be sober-minded. We need to always think things through. When I was ordained as a presbyter or a priest in the church, Canon David Ferry, who preached here a few weeks ago, gave me a bit of advice. And he said to me, "Mark, in everything you do, every move you go to make, pray three times, think twice, act once." Pray three times, think twice, act once. I remember my parents sharing with us when we were growing up that in decisions that we make, that could affect the rest of our lives. Think carefully, because it could be a long afternoon. Enjoy the forenoon or something to that effect. I think they were talking to us about marriage, but I apply it to other things as well. And certainly, entering into marriage, we need to be sober-minded. Maybe some of us is a little bit too sober-minded. Anyway, moving on. Be serious about what we're making. Set your hope fully on the grace. This morning we were thinking in the confirmation class about what it means to have grace. What is grace? And I said to them, if you're here today, you're here. We're here in church today by the grace of God. What do we mean by it? We use this word and we bat it about, but what does the word grace actually mean? We can split the word up and use the letters, and we've that little rhyme that it's great riches at Christ's expense. But grace simply means God's gift. It is the gift of God that we're allowed to be in this church this morning. Some of you might be thinking God would be even more gracious to us if the rector would just keep quiet and sit down. But either way, God has allowed us to be here. That is what grace is. He enables us to be fully embraced in His Holy Spirit to live and to work for Him. And Peter says, set your hope fully on grace that will be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ, or when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When Jesus is revealed in His full glory to the whole world, at the moment He's being revealed to the church, to us in the church, but when He's been revealed to the whole world, in other words, at His second coming, when He comes back, and every eye shall see Him, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Jesus is Lord, that's when He will be fully revealed in all His glory, then it's that grace that'll bring us to Him. Grace alone in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 14, Peter goes on to say, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, when we come to Jesus, we need to put our old selves behind us. We need to try our utmost to no longer live in sin. We need to try our best to live for Christ and for Christ alone. And Peter says it. He says, no longer conform to the evil desires. No longer do the things that you used to do that you know in your hearts is sinful. The world will try and pull us in so many different ways, but we need to be careful not to do it. I had a revelation this morning in confirmation class. Sobering thought that I just didn't quite know how to respond to. I love that group of young ones. 90% of the time they just sit and look at me. But every now and again, one of them will say something that just triggers a thought. And I was asking them this morning if any of them watched EastEnders, and they said they didn't. And I think that's probably a good thing that they don't, because I'm hooked. But those of you who watch it will know the storyline involving Becky at the moment, and how there's cyberbullying going on. Because she took, and it all started with her taking a photograph of herself in a state of undress and sending it to her boyfriend, or at least she was trying it, she was going to do it, she was thinking about it, and her boyfriend doing the same and sending it back to her. Some of you will know that storyline. And I was saying to the young people this morning, we need to think seriously about our actions. To which one of them, who will remain nameless, looked at me and said, Reverend Mark, are you talking about sexting? To which I went, yes. And then I looked at Elaine and I said, Elaine, help. And Elaine just very wisely said, just think carefully about the decisions that you make. Think carefully, because once it's out there, there's no bringing it back. Folks, we need to be so, so careful that we behave as obedient children. And for those of you who are parents or grandparents in church this morning, do you pray for your children? For those of us who aren't, do we pray for the children of our church and our community? I remember being challenged when I was in my early 20s at a conference in Coleraine called New Horizon. John Piper was preaching at it. And John said this. He said, those of you who aren't married, are you praying for your future husband or wife if the Lord's going to bless you that way? Are you praying for your unborn children that you may have or may not have? Folks, we need to pray for our children. That they will grow up. Maybe, yes, we want them to grow up obedient to their parents, because that's one of the commandments. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But we want them to grow up to be obedient to the word of God. We want them to grow up to be a holy nation before the Lord. And we need to be teaching them. And part of that is to be praying with them and for them. So for those of you who are parents in church this morning, let me challenge you. When was the last time you prayed with your child? And if it's a long time ago, if you can't remember it, well, do it today. When you go and have your dinner this afternoon or this evening or whenever it is, next time you sit down together as a family, tonight before they go to bed, pray with them. Even if it's that simple little prayer that we all would have learned as children, as I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We need to teach them. But not only our children, we need to pray for each other. One of the most humbling experiences of my ministry so far was to visit somebody in the hospital and to pray with them. And the moment I finished praying, that person then prayed for me because they knew I was going through a difficult time. That's so humbling to have that happen. We become obedient by teaching and by praying. And not conforming to the things that we had in our past. Not conforming to the patterns of the world, as the Apostle Paul writes about. To stand up and be different. To be counted among the righteous. We're also then called, Peter goes on to write, to be a holy nation. To be a holy people. We are called to be holy. You'll see it at the end of verse 16. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. And there are only three of many references on the screen of scriptures that call us to be the same. Book of Leviticus, chapter 11, chapter 19, and chapter 20 all say, be holy, for I am holy. Our example is the example that God has given us in Christ Jesus. What would Jesus do should always be the question that we ask ourselves. And as we follow the example that Jesus has given us, we are setting an example to others around us. We are called to be holy. And the word holy means to be set apart, to be different. We live in the world, to quote Vanda Clark, we live in a world of selfies. We're lived in the live for self. But actually, as Christians, we're called to live for the others. We're called to be in the world, but not of it. We're called to be different, but we're called to be in among it, sharing the word of God. We are called to be holy. As I was thinking about this sermon, I came across this prayer, and I thought this is an excellent way in which we could be praying in order to become holy. Dear Lord, I pray today that you help me to be, you help me to control my thoughts. You help me not to think any evil towards anyone. Help me not to think on things which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report of virtue and of praise. What a prayer. If every single one of us could do what that prayer says, we would be a holy people. A holy people standing before the Lord and before each other. How is all this possible? Well, Peter goes on to tell us in verses 18 and 19. He says, you were not redeemed with corruptive things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You find a coin that was about when Jesus walked this earth, and it might be worth a wee bit of money, but that money will eventually disappear. Trade it into a museum or into an antique shop and you might get thousands for it, but that thousand will eventually disappear. The blood of Christ 2,000 years later is as relevant today and as precious today as it was on the day he died on Calvary. And every single one of us has been bought with his blood, because as verse 20 tells us, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. When God created the heavens and the earth, as we read about in Genesis chapter 1, whether we're a creationist or not, we believe that God created the world. Before that, he had Jesus in mind. As God said, let night and day be separated, put the sun in the sky and the stars and the moon in the sky, God knew that Jesus was going to have to die, that his only son was going to have to die for us. And it is believing in him that we become a holy people, by believing in his death and in his resurrection. And in verse 23, as we move quickly through the passage, we read these words, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And then Peter says, as a newborn babe, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. In chapter 2, verse 2. It is by the word of God that we become a holy nation. By reading his word, by studying his word, by loving his word, by applying his word to our hearts. As Christians, we should love the word of God. And if you don't love the word of God, then how can you be a Christian? Because the Bible is God speaking to us. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 34 and verse 8, we read these words, and I love this little verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. Knowing, loving, and enjoying God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. As believers, we should be craving the Word of God as a baby craves milk. For those of you who have been parents and are parents, you'll know that your babies, you have to feed them. Every 4 hours or something, isn't it? Even through the night, you have to feed them. If you don't feed the baby, what happens? The baby starts to cry. The baby will cry. And if you still don't feed that baby will eventually die. We're the same. As Christians, we need to live in the Word of God. Read, mark, and inwardly digest, as the prophet Jeremiah encourages us to eat that food, the Word of God. I'm going to pray together. I'm going to put that prayer back up on the screen that encourages us to be called to be holy. And in a few moments, if you can see it, in a few moments, we're going to pray it together. If you believe that God is calling you to be holy, then pray this prayer with me. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to pray about being holy before we say this prayer. But I want to give you the chance, as we do so often, to respond if God has been speaking to you this morning. If you haven't been obedient, then say sorry to him. Say sorry, Lord, for my disobedience. And ask him to come and fill you right up with the power of his Spirit and wash you in the blood of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the things that you give us, but most of all, we thank you for your precious blood and how that it does not perish as silver and gold does, but that it lasts for an eternity. We thank you for the call that you place in our lives, and we're sorry when we have been obedient, disobedient children. But bless us with your grace when we are obedient. Encourage us to live in your word and to crave it daily. And help us to be a holy people, a holy nation. And so we pray together. Dear Lord, I pray today that you help me to control my thoughts. Help me not to think any evil towards anyone, but help me to think on things which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, of virtue, and of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.